ladies and gentlemen. My name is Matt Tardio, and I'm filling in this morning for Brianna Morello. And thank you guys for joining me over here on American Journal. We got some huge stories that are coming up for you guys, not just in this hour, but also when Brianna gets on the show. Guess what? She's going to be bringing on Rudy Giuliani. You guys aren't going to want to miss that in the third hour of the show. In the first hour coming up for you guys, I'm bringing on a special guest, my friend Nate Vance. We're going to be going over all things overseas and how it actually pertains to the United States. With everything that's going on over inside of Minneapolis, I think that a lot of Americans are losing sight that the United States may very well be getting ready to bomb Iran. Over inside of Jordan, we've moved in three squadrons of F-15 fighter jets. We've moved aerial defense assets over into Israel and into the Middle East. Rumors of upwards of 25,000 U.S. troops have gone into Iraq. Now, with all of that being said, I don't think it's just about Iran. Neither does Nate. We actually think that it has to do with Russia. We think it has to do with China and why they're meddling inside of the United States. You guys see silver prices that are skyrocketing right now. Yesterday reached all the way up to, what, $118 an ounce, I think, for spot price before they ended up going down. Yeah, China's behind a lot of that. And we're going to talk about why today for you guys as well. Going into the second half, I'm also bringing on another special guest. Her name is Angela Rose. Angela was actually an insider over inside of Minneapolis. She was hanging out with Cam Higby, and she was hanging out with Nick Sorter, and she managed to infiltrate her way into one of those leftist extremist organizations over in Minneapolis, and you're not going to believe some of the stuff that she actually has to say. This is going to make one great show. I promise you guys, you're not going to want to miss it. You're going to most certainly want to stick around. Now, before we get into all that, I want to tell you guys that I got a tip off from a friend. His name is Corey Guro over in California. He runs something that's called the GOAT Initiative. And Corey put this image out on social media the other day, but it was very, very blurred out. So I reached out to him because what Corey said is that the Mexican military had actually made its way into the United States of America. And when I reached out to Corey, I said, Corey, brother, I can't see a dang thing on this photo. You got to give me something more. This man sent me videos. This man sent me photographs. And beyond any doubt in my mind, we had armed Mexican military on U.S. soil last week. And it was the same day that the FBI wanted to make sure that they announced the arrest of their top 10 fugitive over inside of Mexico. You know, the major drug cartel that used to be an Olympic athlete. Yeah, well, the same day that happened, for some reason, people dressed in Mexican uniforms ended up walking over into the United States of America. Crazy part about this is that it wasn't just the Mexican military just doing this on their own. From what I have heard, it sounds like a Customs and Border Patrol supervisor actually approved this madness coming over into the United States of America. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these guys were armed. And we're talking a platoon size element. For any of you guys that are not familiar with the military, a platoon size element, you're talking maybe upwards of 30 people walking on U.S. soil. And they weren't just walking on U.S. soil. They were on private property. They were shaking door handles and they were looking inside. Now, if the rumors are true that CBP actually approved the Mexican military to come on U.S. soil, I got some major questions. What would have happened if they would have ended up shooting an American citizen? And by the way, there was no federal officers that were present when all of this was going on. No, they just let them wander onto U.S. soil. Now, reached out and I spoke with Brianna about this morning. She's reaching over to DHS to try to get a statement from them on the matter to validate it. We're going to see if they own up to it. And if they don't own up to it, well, I think they're going to have some problems on their hands because, again, photographic and video evidence. Armed Mexican troops, U.S. soil. Approved by U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a problem. I can't even begin to tell you how disgusting that is. You know, we're talking about insurrections here in the United States. We're talking about possibly going to war with Iran. We're talking about all of these other things. Now, before you even think to question Corey on this, you got to understand, Corey has testified before Congress about the issues that he has down at the border. He's found cell phones with Chinese intelligence on them, telling them to recruit people to spy on U.S. naval stations, things of that nature. He's had Tulsi Gabbard come visit him. He's had Joe Kent come visit him. Tons and tons of people. Ladies and gentlemen, stick around for this next hour. You're not going to want to miss it. I got Nate Vance coming up for you next. You're going to love it.
The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to American Journal. I am your host for this morning, Matt Tardio. And like I said before, Brianna, she's going to be back here in just a little bit. You're going to catch her at the top of the hour coming in with special guests like Rudy Giuliani coming at you. Now, this hour, I've got two great guests that are coming up for you. I've got Nate Vance and I've got Angela Rose. Nate Vance is going to be joining me here in just a sec. And we're going to be talking about Iran. We're going to be talking about Russia. And we're going to be talking about China and how all of that ties in and why we might be going to war with Iran in the very near future. And it's not going to look anything like the 12-day war. The U.S. military is stockpiling themselves over inside of the Middle East. We've got three squadrons of F-15s, three over inside of Jordan. We've got, what do you want to call them? Aircraft carriers that are moving in over outside of Iran as we speak. Earlier this month, Donald Trump said, hey, the United States, we're locked and loaded and ready to go if you continue to kill your civilians. Now, our government would like you to believe that this is about Iran killing their people. That's what the government wants you to think. Donald Trump, he came out earlier this month and stated that if they carry through with some of these executions that were going to take place during the uprisings over there, that, well, the United States is going to be forced to respond. We're going to have to do something about it. He also came out and he said that he spoke with Iran and he's very pleased because they're not going to be killing any more of their people. Meanwhile, what actually happened is Iran ends up shutting off the internet and the entire country goes dark. Elon Musk tried to fix it by throwing in Starlink. And having Starlink work well, then they went and they cut off Starlink and the people couldn't even get Starlink connection. As a matter of fact, anybody over inside of Iran that ended up getting caught with Starlink was being tried as spies. The IRGC has taken over hospitals and the new death toll that I'm being told is upwards of 50,000 dead. Over inside the media, we're talking about maybe 10 to 20,000 that the IRGC has killed. You've got Shia militias that are flowing in from Iraq that are going in and working side by side with the IRGC. Yesterday, Joe Kent was over inside of Iraq. One of the things that Joe Kent spoke with the Iraqis about was peaceful transfers of ISIS detainees going into Iraq from the Syrian control. We won't even talk about why the administration decided it would be a good idea to work side by side with al-Jolani, a former al-Qaeda terrorist. He used to be great friends with this guy. He would go by the name of al-Baghdadi. Trump talked famously about killing him. He was the former leader of ISIS. Yeah, him and Jolani, the leader of Syria, they used to be good friends. Well, now they're allegedly turning over ISIS fighters to U.S. forces or Iraqi forces, not sure which one. And Joe was busy over inside of Iraq, making sure that the Shia militias were being disbanded because they're going into Iran and killing everybody. But what does this have to do with the United States? Very good question. When we start taking a look at Venezuela, we have huge questions. Why did the United States decide to go after Venezuela? Well, Venezuela and their drug running, right? That's what we were told. We have Maduro. We have cocaine flowing between Colombia, and we have cocaine flowing out of Colombia and into Venezuela. But Venezuela isn't even in the top five countries that ship drugs into the United States of America. Not even the top five. So what were we doing over there? Well, we started to figure it out when we noticed that the boats that the U.S. started interdicting, which, by the way, we decided to say that we're going after them due to oil sanctions because of some deal gone bad decades ago. And the U.S. is going to recoup its oil, right? Because we don't have enough oil. We've got record low oil prices and everything else, which is insane to me. Well, one of those boats that the U.S. tried to interdict, known as the Bella One, actually took off running before the U.S. could get to it. And the U.S. Coast Guard chased it all across the ocean until it got pretty much north of the U.K. And then Russia decided it'd be a good idea to dispatch a nuclear sub after it. Ends up not hitting the mainstream media. Nobody really cared about it. We interdicted the vessel. But why did Russia send a nuclear sub after the Bella One in order to protect it? Why did the Bella 1 reflag itself to a Russian vessel after it flicked its transponder off and popped off the radar? Nobody knew where it was at, minus the Coast Guard that was trailing it. And then the big question, why did the U.S. send our Tier 1 tactical units to go and take over that boat? And that's not a mistake. And no, I'm not randomly stating that. Yeah, we sent our top-tier military personnel to go and raid that vessel and take over an oil tanker that was being guarded by a Russian nuclear submarine. Well, we ended up getting the answer maybe a week ago. We had over 3 tons of gold that were found on that boat. 3 tons of gold aboard that. And who is the oil tanker being operated by? The IRGC, the Iranian Foreign Terror Organization, designated by the United States of America and Canada, and now others over in the EU are also looking at it, wondering whether or not they're going to designate them as an FTO. Well, what's the IRGC got to do all this? Well, the IRGC has been funneling oil from Venezuela up to China. And we want to know, why does China play into this? Well, again, I referenced the silver spot price yesterday that reached $118 an ounce before it went down to, I think, the low 100s. And then the last I checked before I went live on air, it ended up jumping up to 112 an ounce. I mean, it's huge. It just continues to climb. Over in Shanghai, the silver price is trading at $130+ an ounce. COMEX is rumored to be ridiculously low, and within the next month, it could be reaching critical levels. And that's a problem. We have failure on deliveries. All of a sudden, we have a failure in the U.S. dollar. Everybody loses faith in it. Back in November, India tried to corner the market for the LBMA. They ended up demanding delivery from the LBMA and drained the entire vault for the LBMA of silver. Now, India is a BRICS nation. China has been working very closely with Russia, obviously, with their war in Ukraine. Russia has a big, big problem when it comes to getting their monetary value out of their oil because of the amount of sanctions that the U.S. ended up leveraging on it. In order to get money, which, by the way, their oil exports account for 30% of their GDP. 30% of their GDP goes from Russia's oil exports, and the U.S. slaps sanctions all over it. You guys remember the first signal gate? Not the signal gate that we're talking about right now, but the very, very first signal gate that came out during the first couple months of the Trump admin, when the U.S. had multiple aircraft carriers over in the Red Sea and were bombing the crap out of Yemen. I want to say it was Vice President Vance, which I can't wait for Nate to get it here. I want to say it was Vice President Vance that actually made the statement that I hope the EU knows that we're bailing them out again. Now, why would he say that? Well, because the Houthis are controlled by the IRGC. The Houthis are the ones that currently run Yemen. They are a foreign terror organization designated by the United States of America, and they've been attacking merchant vessels over in the Red Sea for quite some time. Because of that, the U.S. decided it'd be a good idea to go and bomb the crap out of them. Everyone wanted to point their fingers and go, oh, but Israel. Well, Israel can handle a couple of drones and a ballistic missile or two shot by the Houthis. But what the EU and what the entire world can't stand is our trade being disrupted by the Houthis, which is what Iran was doing. By using the Houthis over in the Red Sea, the U.S. went over and we started bombing them so that we could reopen it. If we reopen the Red Sea, we reestablish international trade. Now, what I'm talking about here is nothing but a war that's been raging behind the scenes between the United States, Russia, China, and the big intermediary in this entire deal has been Iran. And right now, the United States has a very convenient excuse to go in and bomb Iran. They're killing their own people. Well, Iran's been washing money for China, it would seem, and they're certainly doing business with Russia, seeing how they felt like sending over a nuclear sub to guard 3 tons worth of gold. I mean, that's insane to me, the amount of gold that was on that vessel. And the United States sends our tip of the spear after. So everybody in America is looking, saying, why are we getting involved in another war over in the Middle East? Well, because for the last decade plus, well, I'd actually say the better part of 2 decades, underneath all of this democratic rule here in the United States of America, with the Democrats running wild, we've got assumptions of Joe Biden and his son doing business with China and Russia. Can't forget all of that. It would certainly seem like the U.S. has been played a fool. All of our exports are being sent, you know, overseas. And if we need stuff, we're going to end up getting it back from somewhere. Well, China decided that they were going to have massive export restrictions on silver starting on January 1st. Last year, the United States government decided to list silver as a critical mineral. A month after November, December, China decided to make the announcement that it was going to be sanctioning 27 U.S. defense industry companies. companies like Lockheed Martin. You think they're going to get any silver? You know what silver is really important to? It's really important to things like data centers. It's really important to our, you know, infrastructure here in the United States. But it's also extremely, extremely critical to the defense industry. The defense industry, you need it for fighter jets. You need it for guidance systems. You need it for all of those little microprocessors, all sorts of things that we use. There's no substitute for silver right now. And China is hoarding it while the U.S. is dwindling in its supply. And China right now is paying over $20 an ounce in the United States. Who do you think they're going to sell that to? And do you think the banks that are holding onto the hoards of it here in the United States, you think any of these banks are going to give it up at the current price? No, they're going to hold on to it. They're going to hold on to it so that they can drive the price higher. Unless the United States government steps in and forces them to do it, but that can only last so long. We've been in a supply deficit for the last 5 years, and China knows this, and they've been playing the game. They've been playing the game hard. And they've been able to wash the money. They've been able to do all sorts of dirty things to the United States simply by using Iran. And Russia, well, Russia has benefited vastly from Iran. Russia has been able to, how do I want to say this, supply 30% of the aerial munitions that were flying across the Russian border into Ukraine were drones being supplied by Iran for the first couple of years of the war. In return, Russia decided it would be a good idea to give them nuclear scientists to work on their uranium enrichment projects. You guys remember the 12-day war in June of last year, all the way back then, and we're wondering, why aren't we just going in and bombing them? We had the United States screaming, these guys have enriched uranium. Up to 87%, according to the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency. Up to 87%. That is an insane number. You don't need it for that. Anything over 20, I mean, medical, maybe you can get 20 out of. 60% is the widely cited number, but no, the IAEA actually cited and said that they found two undisclosed locations that Iran did not disclose to them outside of Tehran, where they found trace elements of up to 87% enriched uranium. That's nuts. And then the U.S. held off forever. Why did we hold off forever? Well, we needed some help from Russia, most likely. If Iran was going to give up their enriched uranium, then we would need somebody to go in and remove it. The IRGC is not going to let the United States of America do it. Why would they? No, they need somebody that they've been working with that's also qualified to do these things. And who better than Russia? Because they have scientists on the ground already, and they've been working with them, and Iran and Russia trust each other for the most part. Well, we held off on striking for the longest time. Why would we hold off on striking? Well, because Russia had over 100 scientists on the ground over inside of Iran. That's absolutely troubling. We had to allow them to have time to move their scientists off those nuclear sites, because if we would have bombed Russian scientists over inside of Iran, we would have potentially started World War III and pissed Russia off even more, which then brings up Greenland. The United States decided it would be a great idea. The Trump admin has been scrambling to get a hold of Greenland. Why? Well, we now have the answer, the Golden Dome. According to the Trump administration, we need it. And they're not wrong. Greenland sits right in between the United States and Russia, like North America and Russia. If you were to draw a line on a globe going between Russia and the United States, Greenland would fall pretty much right in the middle of it. So we're worried about their ICBM threat. We had a wide open back door to Russia this entire time underneath the Biden administration, where Russia could have came and attacked the United States, and we would have been extremely vulnerable to the Russian ICBM threat. In order to counter that, in order to fix it, well, we got to put some assets over inside of Greenland. Why? Why is Russia so pissed off at the United States? And I think the answer is Russia is looking at doing everything they can in order to cripple the U.S. dollar, and China is playing them. I think China is actually behind this entire deal, personally. I believe it's China. And so, in my opinion, we have a huge problem here. We have two other world superpowers. We have Russia and we have China that are working with a country that's a foreign terror organization. Like the entire IRGC is labeled as a foreign terror organization. What's worse is they're led by the Ayatollah. The IRGC answers directly to the Ayatollah. And if we want to fix the situation over in Iran, and by the way, the actual Iranian people, they're claiming that less than 30% of the country is actually even Muslim. They've been burning mosques over inside of the country. Over the last weekend, rumors came out that Iran was gassing its own people. Gassing. Like Saddam Hussein did with the Kurds. I don't even want to know what those numbers are. And still the U.S. hasn't intervened yet. Why? The Ayatollah said that he ended up moving a bunch of the enriched uranium because we had to let the Russian scientists move. Leadership of Iran said that they moved a bunch of the enriched uranium, and we didn't bury crap when we dropped our 30,000-pound bombs on Fordow. You know, the bombs that the U.S. was working on for like 20-plus years to make sure that we actually were capable of destroying that target. A lot of people don't even know that. Those 30,000-pound bombs that we dropped on Iran, they were specifically designed for that target. We conducted over 100 test strikes using those bombs just to narrow it in. That's how much the U.S. hated Fordow. And we bombed the crap out of it. And then Iran says, well, you guys took too long and we moved a bunch of our enriched uranium. Kind of a problem. Well, in order to solve this, we would have to get rid of the IRGC. We would have to cripple the regime. And right now there's a massive uprising and it seems like a good time for the United States to go in and strike the regime. But there's one problem, one big problem. And the problem is the Ayatollah is also one of two religious leaders for the Shia, or the Shiite Muslims, if you will. They don't account for the vast majority of Muslims. Sunnis do. They believe it's somewhere around 80% of all Muslims are Sunni, but still 20% Shia. And their leader, the Ayatollah Khomeini. And if we end up killing him, we kill a religious figure, a huge religious figure, massive religious figure. You want to see radical Islam come together? Take out the Ayatollah. So what are we going to do? I think the United States is in kind of a little bit of a pickle here. And I think the Ayatollah's religious status is protecting him from U.S. strikes. Before you say that the United States isn't under direct threat from Russia, I'd refer you guys over to a DHS report from last year. In this DHS report from last year, the United States said that it had thwarted several potential lethal terrorist attacks on U.S. soil that were going to be originating from Iran, of all places. And then we look at things like Donald Trump's assassination attempts. The gentleman down in Florida that showed up at Mar-a-Lago and hid in the bushes several hours before Trump was supposed to be there. How did he know? How did he know to be in that very specific location? I got told that they were sitting over dinner and discussing it over dinner the night before. And that's when they decided to go and play golf the next day. Around 9 p.m. at night, somewhere around there. And then 4 hours later, this guy decides to sneak his butt into the woods outside Mar-a-Lago. I don't think so. To me, that sounds like foreign intelligence actually was controlling somebody and helping him out, whether it be Russia, whether it be Iran, whether it be China. That's pretty freaking wild to me. And yes, we do have issues with Iran over here in the United States. Holding before me a summary of issues. You know, we were talking about going into Niger and bombing Niger earlier this year. And we did, allegedly, ended up taking out some bad terrorists over there. But all of the footage that ended up coming out of that didn't really look like we hit anything but some open fields and maybe some weapons caches. And then I seen this report. And again, from the Formaline Influence Center, Russia influence contributed to Niger's decision to force withdrawal of U.S. troops. In 2024, Niger compelled the withdrawal of U.S. troops from the Central African country. How are they doing it? Well, they're doing it through online influence and things of that nature, basically forcing the United States government to pull its troops out of there, which is really sad. Another one, Chinese social media adopted fake American personas to promote protests against rare earth processing facilities in Texas and Oklahoma. Remember how I told you that the United States is kind of in a bit of a pickle when it comes to silver? It's in a bit of a pickle when it comes to these critical minerals. Well, guess what's over inside of Nigeria? I hope I'm not the only one that knows this. Over inside of Nigeria, you end up having the largest lithium deposit in Africa. Largest lithium deposit in Africa. And wouldn't you know it, the United States, a United States-based company, tried to run a bid on that in order to get all of the lithium out of there because we need control over these critical minerals. You need lithium for several different things. Guess what company it was? Elon Musk. Elon Musk put a bid in on it and they turned him down. But do you know whose offer they actually accepted? Well, they happened to accept China's offer. So China now controls it. And by the way, you know, the Trump administration says that we had great communication with them and we were working with them the entire time for those terrorist strikes over there. That's what they said. I'm pretty sure they failed to mention that the United States is pretty much cut off from them from now on. No U.S. citizens are allowed to travel over there, the last I checked. That's a bit of a problem. If we had such great communication and we were helping them out and taking out all of these terrorists, well, why? And by the way, when we're talking about people being massacred and murdered inside in a, over there, I believe, you know, we were complaining about Christians being massacred. Well, why just there? Why not over inside of Syria where we had Alawites being massacred by the Jolani regime? Doesn't make much sense. But when you start looking at the critical minerals over inside of Nigeria, all of a sudden we have a very eye-opening subject. Did I tell you that the Department of War ended up investing almost $3 billion the other week into a brand new smelter in the United States? Yeah, they teamed up with a very large bank. Department of War is going to maintain 40% of that smelter. It's the first one to open up in the United States in decades, the best of my research I've been able to find. So behind the scenes on everything, we have Trump going in and removing Maduro because Maduro, you know, he's a narco-terrorist. I'm sure it had nothing to do with his affiliations with Russia and moving gold and moving oil. I'm sure it had nothing to do with the IRGC. I'm sure it has nothing to do with cutting any of that out. I'm sure the massive critical mineral deposits that are inside of that country, and it's got nothing to do with that. Do you guys know that China ended up lending Maduro a metric buttload of money while Maduro was in office? They ended up lending him all this money. Maduro was paying it back with oil exports. And who's moving the oil? Iran. So we want to hurt China because China's hurting us economically. What do? We cut China out of the Western Hemisphere. And we end up making sure that they can't get paid back for all of that money that they ended up sending to Maduro. How do we do that? We end up sanctioning the oil by some decades-old deal gone bad. That's what we do. And then we start getting a hold of all these ships. Oh, by the way, I totally forgot to tell you this. That same ship that had tons of Russian gold on it, allegedly Russian gold on it, that same ship, guess what else it had? It had new guidance packages and weapons components, or so I'm being told, that were being moved into Venezuela. Months ago, China was circling around Taiwan to take it. They wanted to take it bad. They had massive military drills, almost cut it off. Well, allegedly, the IRGC was moving weapons into Venezuela so that they could attack the lower half of the United States of America. That also was reported to me to be on that ship. That's insane. Why do we not have anybody coming out? We all hear about, you know, Russiagate, but how come nobody talks about Irangate? Listen to this other one. Again, report coming out from the FMIC, Foreign Malign Influence Center. Iran hacked and leaked sensitive data from the Trump campaign in 2024. Imagine that. So Iran's also behind that as well. It almost seems to me like we've got some very big issues going on over here in the United States of America, and nobody wants to even bring it up. How in the world is it that we have all of these things going on and the United States government is trying to sell the strike on Iran to you off as helping out the Iranian people who are being massacred and gassed, by the way? We don't care about them. I think Iran could massacre whoever they want. I'll see you guys back in just a couple minutes when we're bringing on Angela Rose inside Minnesota.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, we might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to American Journal. I am your host for the hour, Matt Tardio. We got Brianna coming up here in the next 30 minutes, and she's got a special guest, Rudy Giuliani, coming up for you. But this hour, I have a special guest for you. I'm about to bring on Angela Rose. She infiltrated one of those leftist cult freaking groups over inside of Minnesota. We've got Signalgate right now that's going on, blowing the freaking roof on the corruption over inside of Minnesota. And she was hanging out with Nick Sorter. She was hanging out with Cam Higby. She also runs a YouTube channel, which you guys can find her at Angela Rose. She's also got an X account. I highly suggest you guys go over and find her and follow her, because she's got some really good information. She's been digging into these folks left and right. And I don't know anybody else that could possibly infiltrate into any of these groups other than Angela. So Angela, ma'am, welcome to the show. It's good to have you on. So happy
Thank
that
you
were able to make it. Yeah.
Thanks All for right. the lovely so. Introduction. It's great to be here. And I'm excited to converse. It's important that we have these conversations, because I believe that America maybe has forgotten about something that we swore to never forget about. And now there's this whole entire network that has been created to protect this group of individuals that can pose a serious threat to our country. So happy to have this conversation.
They are a serious threat to our country. I've got this tweet I'm holding onto right here. It went viral yesterday. Like, I think it's up to like 30 million views, which is insane. And I'm going to read over the first paragraph. And the guy says, As a former Special Forces warrant officer with multiple rotations running counterinsurgency operations, both hunting insurgents and trying to separate them from sympathetic populations, I've seen organized resistance up close. From Anbar to Helmand, the pattern is familiar. Spotters, cutouts, dead drops, or modern equivalents. Disciplined comms, role specialization, and a willingness to absorb casualties while bleeding the stronger force slowly. What's unfolding in Minneapolis right now isn't protest. It's low-level insurgency infrastructure built by people who've clearly studied the playbook. Now, again, yeah, I, as a former Green Beret myself, I tend to agree with him with a lot of the different things that we're seeing. Now, I think that some of the people might be not nearly as smart, which is crazy for a bunch of people with flip-flops and AKs or peasants with AKs or PWACs, as we like to call them, right? But I don't think they're nearly as smart as them, because not a strike against your intelligence, but you got to meet one of these special individuals while you're over there and you infiltrated the group. And the crazy thing to me about it was everything that we've seen on TV has been this rotational security, right? Where they're over and they're driving around. But you talking to this lady right here, one, she seems dumb as a rock, but two, I found it very interesting that she actually was going over static security, correct? Like she was standing in a location and then they were blasting it out on the alert system. Is that right?
Yeah. So she even told me that in the front glass area, that it's a perfect viewing area for them to stay warm and be able to watch. So just so you guys know, here I was at the Carmel Mall, which is filled with a bunch of what appears to be shell businesses, many, many wire transfer businesses. And Matt, you were explaining to me that some of these wire transfer businesses could potentially be sending money to affiliates of Al-Qaeda. These are the people who are responsible for doing 9/11. And yet this woman feels the need to stand in front of this area that you're seeing right now and keep watch to make sure that the people who are running these businesses are safe in case the ICE comes. And yet the entire mall is completely empty.
Whoa, hold the phone. Did you just say that this little insurrection group is guarding some of those wire transfer businesses?
Oh, yes, of course. And I believe that she goes and gets like her tea there because it makes her feel cultured. Like she likes to hang out there, you know, but they also use it as a viewing area.
So because people at home are not going to know what we're talking about. You and I and Walter Kurt, we've all been talking about how some of this money is being moved around, which is through the Hawala transfer centers, right? It's what we believe. Right. And it's alleged. All right. What we believe. And there was that one mosque in particular, the Al-Farouq Mosque, that was named in the Feeding Our Future scam. And it was also named in that one article that I sent to you about the education centers, right, that were hiring foreign teachers at like $5 a pop and charging people thousands of dollars. And then, you know, it's all being funneled through a nonprofit. It's wild. And the nonprofit, by the way, appears to have been founded by somebody that ended up moving up into state representation past, like, it's nuts. But you mean to tell me that over inside of where you were at, that this ICE Watch group or whatever they want to call themselves, they're guarding part of the fraud?
Well, it seems like it, because the main places where they operate or are standing stationary, ready to dispatch people, are areas that are of particular interest, of where there are a lot of illegal migrants or refugees or Somali businesses. That's why they're specifically there, because they know that it's a place that ICE could target, or that they could be investigating these places for fraud. And so, yeah, they're trying to protect them because of these mean stereotypes.
And that's a little wild considering yesterday, the information that ended up getting dropped by Cam Higby on some of the different members of these different, you know, signal groups. Mm-hmm. You have like state representation in there that's handling a lot of these different groups. Some of them that are very close to the governor, maybe a step away from the governor.
I think it's the governor himself.
Wow.
I mean, if you listen to the way that Tim Walz speaks to these protesters and the way that Peggy Flanagan has, they are definitely encouraging this type of behavior. So whether they're in the chat or not, Peggy Flanagan told people to put their bodies on the line. So I believe that speaks volumes.
Okay. So That's wild. I did not expect for you to come out with that today. I didn't see that one coming.
I kind of thought that it was obvious. God. I thought that it was obvious that where these networks are operating are in places that have the highest Muslim population in the country, or like where all of these businesses are at, like Cedar Riverside, for example. You drive down and there's a bunch of these businesses. I mean, the place where Alex Preti was killed, he was in front of some like weird looking business. So that's where all of this action is taking place. And actually it fills up a large part of Minneapolis, is just these strange businesses. So that's where all of the action is happening. It's to protect the people who own these businesses and just the entire community, you know?
So that speaks to corruption at like a whole new level. And that speaks to insurrection at like a whole new level when we start talking about what's taking place over there, because it's one thing to have people, because that is the general American's view of what's taking place, is that you have these leftists that are running around wild. They're just going over there to protect illegal aliens to make sure that they get alerted when ICE shows up, right?
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that they are guarding and have static security centers around some of these businesses, which might be implicated soon in the fraud scandal, is nuts, mm-hmm. especially when you start saying that we now have leadership from the state of Minnesota that's handling the dispatches and the signal groups, that's sending people mm-hmm. to these locations, almost like they're protecting their very own interests.
Yeah. And that's the thing insane. Is what's crazy is a lot of these business owners could be legal, have legal status here in the United States. So a lot of them came to the United States under the temporary protected status, and then they can get a green card, hold that for 5 years, and become a citizen. But in order to do so, they needed to do the oath of allegiance, and they need to pledge allegiance to the United States of America, like we all do every day in school and stuff. But if they break that, then it is treason, and they can be denaturalized and deported, is what my understanding is. And so even though they're citizens and they're saying like, oh, they're going to come for citizens next, if people are committing fraud, like marrying your brother, for example, that's incest. And I'm pretty sure that that's a crime. So that's a crime within itself, but that's also marriage fraud. So either way, it's bad. So Ilhan Omar could potentially be denaturalized and deported. And so, I mean, she's in government, right? So I guess they're all just trying to protect each other. They must have something tied into each other that they're like trying to protect each other. I don't know. It's strange.
Well, no kidding. No kidding they would be trying to protect us. So you could be telling me that this petty guy didn't give himself up for an illegal alien, but to potentially protect a bigger chunk of the fraud that we're looking, like well, that we're looking into over there.
They're told that it's what they're doing is like the best use of their time, that they're heroes, that they're protecting America from what looks exactly like Nazi Germany or something like that. So they believe that what they're doing is just, you know, but it is just complete and utter nonsense. They've been lied to so, so much. And they have Tim Walz, Peggy Flanagan, among others, encouraging them to revolt against the government, basically. You have people.
Yeah, they're cannon fodder.
Mm-hmm.
They're cannon fodder. They're useful idiots. You know, this guy I met over inside of Portland when I was over there, really, really nice guy. And he was pulling security for somebody. His name's Travis. Travis ended up getting, line yesterday by somebody that said, I know your daughter and I know where she is.
Wow.
And he ended up blasting it out over X. And so when you say that, like these people, you know, everybody wants to know, like, why is it that these people are so emboldened to go out and do the things that they do? And, you know, we've talked about having, you know, the police chief for the city of Minneapolis. We've talked about, you know, obviously some of the language out of Tim Walz and you know, Ellis and all of these other people that are over there, right? Even mm-hmm. the mayor of St. Paul, where you had that church get overran the other day, mayor of St. Paul basically said that they didn't do anything wrong. Why? Because they're ripping children out of schools. So why shouldn't their, you know, church services be disrupted? Words to that effect.
Oh, I mean, which it's is not insane a problem to me, but the because... fact that, they're Christian churches, yet a mosque can fraud their congregation, and I guess that's fine. It's just crazy that this is exclusively happening in Minneapolis. We haven't seen American lives be lost because of the deportations until Minneapolis. So why are they going so overboard to protect the Somali community specifically. It's very bizarre to me. It seems almost like a religious thing. People are pointing out that in what building is it that has some type of satanic like thing written out? Did you see that, Matt?
Pick one. No, I didn't see that one. No. But I find it very odd, especially yesterday, that we had Trump come out and say that he had a very good call with Tim Walz, and that Tim Walz is about to, you know, play ball basically. And he wants the same thing that the United States does, you know, and this happens the exact same day. This happens the exact same day that the Signalgate 2026 is what I'm calling it, ended up dumping. And then a little bit later, we end up discovering, you know, and Trump openly talks about it. He's sending Tom Homan over there, you know, a guy that was praised underneath Obama that ended up getting a freaking award from Obama for over 900,000 illegals that he ended up deporting and getting out of the United States of America. Now Tom Homan's going in there and they come out with a false narrative. But the point being that what you just mentioned, I think, signals to something very much larger, very, very much larger. You know, we've heard about the Bureau looking into all of the Minnesota fraud, looking into government offices, looking into government officials and how all that's tied together. And what you just described, I think, opens it up to a brand new scale, right? Because whenever you're looking at digging into people, whenever you're looking at doing law enforcement actions, you're always looking at like, okay, how can one thing lead to another? And the best way I would bring this up, which is why people hate traffic laws, right? Cops pull you over for having a taillight or a license plate light that's out. And then they walk up and they go, smells like weed. And then they can open your door and search your car, right? And to me, this is very, very similar. I think this might be the it smells like weed inside of your car thing that Cam ended up dumping yesterday. And the fact that all of these other officials are out there on it, I think that speaks volumes, especially because you have Tim Walz now suddenly wanting to play ball. Last night, the Minnesota State Police ended up showing up on scene at the hotel, right? Like quicker than anything we've ever seen. And they actually ended up doing a really good job in arresting people. And the question is, why weren't they doing that literally the entire time? And I think now we have our answer now that you brought that up.
Yeah.
To me, that's what it sounds like.
It seems like a lot of people are curious as to why we are in this negotiation phase with Tim Walz. I believe the most negotiating that we should do with him is we'll allow you to have oatmeal and some time to exercise in jail.
Right. Yeah. No, it's always like, all right, can I get off a little bit lighter? First, he's not going to be running for governor again. Then, you know, he's going to be cooperating. Then we have the state police that are running in there. And all of this is coming out as we're getting more and more information. I think we're going to actually start seeing more and more people in handcuffs in the very near future because of all this. I wanted to talk to you about something. You were there the day that Nick Sorter had his camera stolen from him and that you were in the vehicle when it happened. And then he ended up getting drugged down the highway, or I'm sorry, not down the highway, but down the sidewalk, you know, like after this, he's like hanging, like, I don't know if he got stuck on the door handle or what, but she's like hauling butt down the sidewalk and almost killed the guy, you know, running off with him. And you ended up sharing a video the next day that ended up showing the same lady you had before and after of like the suspect, new license plate information. Amazing work, by the way. But I had a question for you. Because I noticed that you have all of these people out there, and now we have a much better insight to how these networks work. When you first see these people that are out there, and from your information that you ended up getting from that thing over inside of the mall, how quickly is their response? Like how quick, how fast do they end up responding? How coordinated is this response for these people to come out?
So I believe the first day that we were there, because we were there the night before just driving around, we were looking at the businesses and this apartment complex that apparently had received $30 million in government funds. And so just bizarre stuff. We were driving around that night and we began to be followed probably, I would say, around 30 minutes later. But the next day when we went in, we were not there for more than 10 minutes. I mean, we went to one location that is the House of Bulls because we were showing Cam it, and it's like this art place. And so we went straight there. And as soon as we were leaving, there was a car that had spotted us. So I'm guessing that on day number one, they collected our information. And that is how on day number two, they were able to dispatch a lot quicker, because the first day they didn't really notice us, but they have this warnings of, okay, this is potentially could be an ICE vehicle. And then they mark it with like white, yellow, or red. They put that in one of their documents. And so I believe that after the first day, they marked us as suspicious. And so they dispatched like really fast on the second day. And then because this woman laid on her horn, and they have another document, a piece of the document that says, don't just honk your horn because people are used to the city car sounds. And so this woman's laying on her horn, just making people worried and frantic that something is happening. But yet it was just Nick driving around, but they assumed that he was ICE.
That is insane. That's insane. Okay, so the other thing that we ended up discovering is that they end up having an entire license plate database.
Yes.
Do you think that you guys, so you think that you guys got thrown in that license plate database? Now, as we're talking about corruption and everything else that's taking place over inside of there, we obviously, like it certainly appears, excuse me, not obviously, but it certainly appears that we have government officials that are tied into this at very, very high levels. It would not surprise me if we have law enforcement officers that are, for lack of better terms, sympathetic to the cause that may be running these plates and letting people know whether or not they're federal vehicles or not. Now, that's a problem for that law enforcement officer in particular, or maybe the series of them that could be doing this, because it actually puts a stamp within the system. And it says this person looked at this at this date and this time. You get special access to that. So they'll be able to trace those people down. Did you notice, well, number one, how long did it take the police to respond? And then how is their response and their reaction to you guys?
I mean, it's almost irrelevant at this point. It's almost like they didn't really exist because, I mean, the car was surrounded for, I don't know, a long time before the police came. And actually, my understanding is that the police only came because somebody else called the police and they thought that Nick was dragging somebody with their car. So they received false information, and that's the reason why they actually came. And they were not helpful. There's videos of them telling us that we need to leave. And so it doesn't make sense why we would need to leave when we were the victims in this situation. And we didn't do anything wrong. We were just driving around. But Americans are not allowed in certain cities, I guess, which is crazy because these are people that want people to who come here without any documentation to be able to roam the country freely. And yet citizens of the country are not allowed to access certain cities is absolutely insane. So the police were telling us to leave. And again, I'm pretty sure the reason why they got the camera back was thanks to all the users on X and people searching up their license plates, not because of the police. Maybe it was the FBI investigation that is crazy that they had to get involved for something to be done.
So I saw a clip and it had Nick asking, I think it could have been you or it could have been Cam if you called the police. Did one of you guys call the cops? Because the fact that the police showed up and their first reaction, if I heard you correctly, what I'm assuming, what I'm drawing in my mind, is that when the police showed up, they accused Nick of almost killing the lady that stole his camera. Is that right?
My understanding is that the reason why the police came is because they thought that the red car that had dragged somebody was the car that we were in.
That's insane. So the police came for that very reason. And you're like, no, we're actually in this car. That lady stole my stuff. And they're like, oh, okay, well, you guys just need to leave town.
Yeah, exactly. They were kind of rude, too. I mean, it's also awkward when they ask you for the description of the person and she was literally just covered head to toe. I'm talking face mask, burqa, glasses on, gloves on, covered head to toe. I mean, how are you supposed to give a description of this person? It's almost comical.
Yeah, just a overweight, middle-aged woman, burqa, head to toe, black block, jihadist black block, we'll call it. Jihadist black block. It's freaking nuts. Absolutely nuts. Do you think the police are complicit in this?
Well, it did seem kind of like they were defending them. They're like, they don't want to. They're just upset. They don't want to give us any information. They're not going to help us because these people all know each other. And so we're standing there just like, okay, who took the camera? Just give it back. You know, just give it back to us. You know, call them and tell them to give it back. And because they're like family and all connected and stuff. And actually, it's so funny that it was tied into an autism center, the license plates, just so convenient. And But yeah, they were just like, you guys need to leave, and basically defending them, saying, oh, they're not going to help us, so you guys just need to leave. Just call it a loss, pretty much.
Well, if it's tied into an autism center, it kind of makes sense if the police are going to be protecting them, seeing as how you have very high-ranking government officials that are now alleged to be controlling the dispatch of all of these other people, you know, and sending them over to protect the different businesses. And even you outlined, you know, the one place that you infiltrated, they ended up pulling static security on some of these businesses. So if that lady is connected to an autism center, it's to me at this point, because it's so out of control over there, it's not beyond belief that there's directives that are being pushed down from the police or to the police. Hey, if it's involving these individuals, let it go.
Yeah.
Like that would not surprise me at all. I mean, we're talking about billions. I think the number Trump put out in Minnesota fraud was 20 billion. If I remember right, that was the number, but 20 billion. You know, the last high figure I remember reading was like 9 billion. 20 billion greases a lot of wheels. That greases a buttload of wheels. That gets you into some very serious places.
Yeah, did you, that's almost as much as Gavin Newsom's train.
Did you? Oh, Lord, don't get me started on Gavin. Sorry, that threw me for a loop. That's a good joke. Did you notice any difference in these folks that showed up versus ones that were just kind of there? Like, did you have the more violent people that were responding, the more confrontational people that were responding versus the ones that you first encountered? Like, does it seem like the people that are coming over the scene are immediately confrontational, or are they just kind of off the side?
It's almost like the people that first show up are, they're very reckless. And we were talking about earlier how these people don't seem very smart. And I feel like that's why they put kind of these women on the front lines, because they just look silly and like very frantic, and they don't really know how to drive properly, honestly. Like, they're backing up their car in random places and then putting it in drive and then like trying to follow us into parking lots, but just absolutely failing. And so like they're just there to try to get the license plate number and then follow us and keep sending out information. And then the more people that come, what I'm wondering is if when all of those crowds start to show up, if they just hear the ruckus and then come outside, or if they have been instructed to do this, to swarm cars.
Yeah.
I mean, they totally have, because that's what they do to ICE agents. You know, they begin recording them and getting in their faces. And those people seem to be the more violent ones, whereas those women just like try to follow you and try to keep up, you know? But then,
I want to thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Angela, I want to thank you for joining us. Everybody, make sure you go follow her over on X. Make sure you go follow her YouTube channel. Coming up next, you guys, Brianna, she's back in the house.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog, where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something, what a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. I feel better, I feel like I'm 25.
Like you said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at theologyshowstore.com.